Today on Real Radio.
The parable could have easily have been the parable of the poor fool, or the stupid fool, or the unwilling fool, right? It doesn't matter. The riches or the lack thereof did not make this man in the parable a fool. What made him a fool is how he managed the things that he had been blessed with.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable that's found only in Luke's Gospel. It's the parable of the rich fool. It was told by Jesus when he was asked to step in and help settle a financial dispute. Now, this parable is chock full of wisdom, addressing how we are to have a more eternal perspective when handling what God has given to us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in a mini-series called The Parable of the Rich Fool.
He spoke a parable to them saying, "The ground of a certain man, rich man, yielded plentifully." Remember last time we argued that that was an indicator of God's blessing regarding this parabolic teaching of Jesus. In other words, God's in the story. His ground has produced amazing crops. Verse 17 says, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Since I have no more room to store my crops.' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater,'" that is, greater barns, "'and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" In other words, after you're dead, where are all these things going to go? You're going to leave them to somebody? "So is he who lays up treasure," Jesus says, "for himself, and is not rich toward God." And we got into the first point last time in verse 16. It was this, that God was not in the man's thoughts. That's always a dangerous day that we as a person, individual, family, a city, a county, a state, a nation, a military, begins to have no thought of God in our dealings. Yesterday, I was handed at the bank a bill that kind of shocked me. What was that? What is this? I thought it was fake. It looked like it was made out of rubber. It was a $100 bill. It was a Benjamin Franklin. Have you seen the new ones? Oh, you have. I need to hang out with you more often. I saw this and it looked so strange. It's so, well, it looks much like a euro, if you've seen a euro, or a shekel. It looks much like a shekel. It's highly electronic. Did you know that? It's highly, highly technical, the whole bill, the hologram, and all kinds of woven material into it that sends out or is detectable. It's like amazing, all in this little piece of paper. And I quickly looked at it and turned it around to see if there were certain words on it. Oh, no, it's there. "In God we trust." And I looked at it, and it was so sad because I looked at it, and then I realized, well, it was probably political correctness at this stage anyway that kept "In God we trust" there. "In God we trust" over Benjamin Franklin's head. But as a nation or as a people, as a family, as a individual, if God is not in my thoughts, it doesn't matter now, remember, if you're rich or not. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So maybe, I don't know, maybe tonight you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know, I think I can run the risk of not thinking about God. You're gambling with your eternity. We looked at three things regarding this important danger of not having a mind that is God-centered. The number one thing we saw last time is that this man failed to think of his origins or of the origins of things. When Jesus said, this guy's ground produced tremendously plentiful crops, the man failed to stop and realize the most basic truth is that God gives. God is generous. God is luxurious in his blessings upon our life. Church, today, did you... You know what? We're so spoiled. And again, this message just prepares my heart. We're so spoiled. Today I realize, believe me, my house is a weird house. It's a strange house, but I've made it this way. It looks normal if you drive by, but that's where it ends. Why? Because my mom, I told you before, my mom was born and raised in Hawaii, so I was raised in San Diego under my mom's house care, right? Under her rules. And her rules were this: windows open, no screens. That's how you live in my house. And so sitting there today, and I'm studying for this message, and I'm, beautiful day, quiet, you know, at very, very horrible temperature, like it was 74 degrees. And it just dawned on me, these windows have been open for months. And you say, well, that's no big deal. Okay, but there's no screens, and birds will literally fly through one side of our house and go right straight through. And out. And it's normal for us. That's normal for us. But I thought, as I'm sitting there, I thought, you know, God, you're so good. I mean, I don't know about you, but that just turns me on. That is just awesome. And I just love that kind of stuff. You're so good. And you bless so much. And the very origins of every and anything good comes from God. Did you walk in here tonight under your own power? Isn't God good? Are you digesting your dinner tonight after you ate and you came to church and what's going on? Isn't that a miracle? Think of it. You might be saying, I'm kind of having a hard time a little bit. Hey, at least there was food to eat, right? And we live in a country that if you were hungry and you had no money, all you have to do is ask somebody. Amazing. Origins. The ability that the man put seed in the ground, the seed produced a crop, and the man was able to acquire wealth is of God. God blessed this guy in the parable. It's amazing. The second thing we saw is that the guy failed to see the design of things. His mind wasn't thinking about the design, that everything fits with God. It makes sense with God. Listen, even suffering. Just before service tonight, we prayed for a young, I forget how old he is. I'm going to guess 3-4 months old. Little baby. He's got a tumor, and he's going to have surgery unless Jesus heals him right now. We pray that the Lord would do that. But you have to think of something. Did not God know before this baby was born that this would be the issue? Does God not have a plan? Of course he has a plan. He didn't ask us. He didn't ask for our permission. He didn't let us in on the plan and his design. He says, listen, I have a design and I have a purpose and I have a plan and I need you to trust me. So the parents, the grandparents, the family, they need to trust the Lord. There's nowhere else to go. The temptation is to fold your arms and to get upset with God. Do you understand how silly that is? Because we've all done that as kids. Little children, I don't know what the deal is. There's something about little kids sometimes. They're hungry. They're really hungry, but they don't know what they want. So they're really frustrated. And they, I don't want that. You want this? You want that? I don't want that. I want that. But I'm hungry. Your dad used to say it. Now I said it. And I'm sure I'll say it to my grandkids someday when they can understand that. If you're really hungry, you'll eat it. Did you grow up hearing that? That's what my dad said. You're not hungry. Go to your room. I'm hungry. If you're hungry, you'll eat anything. So eat it. And it's like, but that's true. If you're hungry, you're going to eat it. The amazing thing is this, that God has a design planned, and we often push back from God's plan. And that's not a good thing to do. The third thing we saw last time was that this man failed to think of the goodness of God. God is good. So the second thing we see tonight, we pick it up. Our second argument is God was not in his plans because we see what he does now in verses 17 to 18. It says that he thought within himself, circle that, church. Listen, humanity is prone to do this. Listen, we as Christians are prone to do this, and it's not a good thing. Don't think within yourself. Don't become your own judge and jury and don't do that. The man, watch, is thinking, deliberating only with self, saying, what shall I do? The Bible warns us that when riches are added to us, if they should be added to us, the Bible warns, do not set your heart upon them because they may sprout wings and fly away. Isn't that a great word? This man, instead of saying, I've got enough, I'm going to go bless my neighbor. Imagine in the parable, if Jesus said, this is how it is. And by the way, he is saying this if you're listening. This is how you avoid being a fool in the atmosphere or in the midst of blessings. Don't acquire or amass things for greed. The parable could have been written how to prevent from being foolish by caring for others, for example. But the man's not thinking that way. He has no God concept regarding his plans. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? You say, well, man, this guy's a fool. That's right, he is a fool. Jesus says he's a fool. But here's the deal. The guy's thinking, man, okay. I gotta do something about this. I gotta get one of those storage bins and put it in my driveway. Because I got so much stuff. I gotta rent a place to store all my stuff. And I gotta pay rent to store my stuff. Because I have too much stuff. Do you know this is a big business in America? This guy's got no plans but himself. And that leads us to this first consideration under the second point is this. Write it down if you would. He was self-wise in his own opinion. This is dangerous. I'm thinking, and I've been thinking about me and all my stuff. And so I talked to me, and I've decided. In fact, there was no argument at all regarding this path that I would take. And so my opinion is this. I need to get storage units for my stuff. I need to do that. What shall I do? Since I have no more room to store my crops. You see, listen, there's no worship in this guy's life, is there? I mean, there may be worship, but not of God. It's his stuff. Everything, what does the Bible tell us? Everything about what you and I have is his stuff. Does that kind of bump some of you? What? I thought it was mine. No, it's not. Young people have a hard time with this. Especially, and the fact the younger you are, the harder you have a time with this. Because when you're really young, everything is mine. Don't you have to teach your kid to share? Do you? Share. No, it's mine. And the kids, if you haven't watched a little playground dynamic, you ought to go watch it someday. It's refreshing to see how much you've grown in Christ. Because in the sandbox are all these little pagans, idol worshipers, cute as a button, but they're little pagan idol worshipers. And what they do is, you watch almost every one of them exclusively will try to get stuff to their thing. And if someone's playing with something, they got all this stuff, but they're not happy. And they're looking at the kid playing with the stuff. The one, and he looks, he doesn't have the blue car. He's got every rainbow color car, but he doesn't have the blue one. And he's not happy. Have you seen this happen? So then he goes like this. You could see him, it's like, how do I guard my stuff? But I got to get that. And he's working out how to do that. And then, boom, boom. And then this kid's crying. He's happy for a moment. And then somebody reaches over, whap, and it's gone. And listen, you know what? Without Jesus, you never grow out of that. And Jesus says, that's foolish. Because what you acquire can never finish the meaning and purpose of your life. It doesn't complete God's plan for your life. It doesn't do it. And somebody might say, well, you know what? It's like Tevye in Fiddler of the Ark. I was going to say Fiddler. What is the movie? Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof. Remember he says, God, if riches are a curse, I wish you'd smite me with it. Well, that's, I mean, we laugh, but it's actually a request of condemnation. You say, well, that's a hard thing to say. Well, okay, look, go do this study later on your own. Over 75% of lotto winners within 5 years are divorced or unhooked on drugs, alcoholics, or dead. Did you know that? They can't handle it. They can't handle it. But you begin to think, well, if I do this and I do the other thing, and if I build bigger barns, and if I just work 23 hours a day, and if I acquire these things, and if I reach it by the age of 40, I'm going to be fine. Wow. Now, I want to ask you these questions. I wrote these down for me. I think I know the answer, but do you think, listen, church, answer, do you think that this man's plan of consulting himself, do you think it made sense to him? Yeah, it made perfect sense to him. Listen, I'm going to set you up. It made perfect sense to him. Why? Because it was his plan. Why would you go with a plan if you didn't like it when you're the one who made it? If you have a problem with that, you need a doctor quick. Okay, so the Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, that there is a way that seems right, correct, well advised to a man, but its end is the way of death. Think of it for a moment. I have thought about this. It's what I'm going to do. Maybe people have even told you, don't do it. No, I'm going to do it. You have no Bible verses. You have no waiting upon God to say, the Lord showed me. For whatever reasons, maybe they're not even clearly known to you, you are just committed to this path. That's the way it's going to be. I'm going to do this. And everyone's told you no. Not that everybody's right, but you didn't consult God. And you're a Christian, but somebody would ask you, on what basis has God given you to do this decision? If you have no biblical chapter verses answers, you're in trouble. You're on shaky ground. This is serious stuff. How does a Christian know what to do? Oh, there go you Christians, pointing to that book again. Hey, this book is all we have. Oh, he admitted it. I'll say it again. This book is all I have. Amen. Don't think it's a book. Look, if this book got burned, it doesn't change its truth. If every Bible in the world got burned, God's word's eternal. It doesn't change anything. This abides forever. And so, your decision-making process has got to be here. So, when your counsel is, I'm going to do this. Listen, Christian, listen. You and I saying, well, I feel like it's the right thing to do. That is absolute. Do you think it felt right to this man in the parable? A lot of people make their decisions based on what they feel. That is one of the most dangerous. In fact, I think many Christians today are in perilous situations because they make their theology, emotionally based theology. I feel like this would be good. And some people have gone so far. Hey, for that matter, there's churches that have gone so far off base because they've taken what they feel over the revealed word of God. It seems right. And herein's the danger. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Here's the danger. The way, you ought to mark that in Proverbs 12:15, The way is his pattern of thinking and living. Listen, everybody. The way of the fool, his pattern of thinking, watch, because some of you, if you've known people like this, or maybe it's you, the decision-making over your lifetime, you've gone from one disaster to the next in your life. Just one disaster, one bad decision to the next. And it's your pattern of decision-making. It's your pattern of living. God's not in that, says the Bible. Well, what is he into? Okay, here we go. Write this down. How do you not be a fool regarding your own opinion? Because we all have opinions. You guys, don't be so quiet. We all have them. Our opinions are important to us, are they not? It's part of our right as a human. You know, we've got that in us. We don't like to talk about rights as a Christian, but let's be honest. We have them. And how do we know? Well, because you'll share your opinion. Why? What are you doing? Because I'm a human, and I have this right to tell you, or I'm gonna jump in with my two bits into the class, and I'm gonna let my opinion be known, and that's fine. That's fine. But the Bible says, just make sure it's wise, not foolish. Usually, listen, when it's foolish, this is going to sting. Usually when it's foolish, the bulk of the class will agree with it. Because it helps them soothe their conscience about their silly decisions. And then somebody speaks wise. Listen, when someone speaks wise, when someone's wise, it changes the course of history. You don't need too many wise people around because the wisdom that comes out of them changes so much. It can even make the foolish wise when they hear it, if they'll listen to it. But here is the thing God would have us do. You guys all ready? I want you to write this down. You're going to laugh because you know it so well. Proverbs 3. Oh man, I have that tattooed right here in my arm. I mean, I don't. I'm making that up right now. Someone's going to email me. I can't believe my pastor has a tattoo. I do not have a tattoo. I'm saying some people I've seen have this verse, and here it is. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 5. And by the way, it's a command. Number one command in Proverbs 3, 5 is trust. Trust. Who? In who?
In the Lord.
Let me hear it again.
Lord.
In the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Ooh. That immediately deals with their own self-prescribed opinion.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Rich Fool. It's a very close look at this section of Scripture known as Luke chapter 12, The Parable of the Rich Fool, part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday. Now, tomorrow and Friday, we're going to hear Pastor Jack give a special 4th of July presentation. That starts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And as we approach the holiday that's essentially the birthday of our great nation, Pastor Jack has selected a terrific book that goes hand in hand with Independence Day. It's called Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. Faith of Our Founding Fathers examines the facts that have created debate for years among educators, scholars, and historians. It studies the intimate papers, the diaries, and letters of the Founding Fathers themselves, and helps to solve the mystery of our nation's past so that we can best guide her future. Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. It's Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.